We're inside Centre MK, the very large shopping area of Milton Keynes, and there are some hidden pockets of art, and in this case, an artistic installation which is almost entirely made of data projected onto the floor from the ceiling, a map of Milton Keynes Centre. And I'm with a couple of the creators here. What are your names?
I'm Wesley Goatley.
And I'm Georgina Voss.
What are we looking at here?
So we're looking at a top-down map of Milton Keynes, as well as a view of the data that we have on the city. Now, the data that we have has come from the Open University's MK Smart Hub, which is a sort of a smart city initiative, which they are running in order to gather a large amount of data about the city in order to see what that can teach us or what it exposes about the way the city works and potentially lead us to make decisions about the city in the future. So what we've done is illustrate each different variety and type of data that we have that are all related to kind of hard infrastructure of the city, things like gas use, electricity use, roundabouts, car parks, buses, all those things that we engage with day to day, and visualize this on top of the map. Now, we've also have objects hung from the ceiling which are casting shadows through the projection. It's a floor-based projection of about 4 meters long and 2.5 meters wide, and casting shadows onto the floor itself are laser-cut acrylic objects, which the shadows map perfectly to areas of the city which were residential areas, but we don't have any data for in the system and in the data sets that we have access to.
So one of the things we were particularly interested in was this. For a lot of work that thinks about what data is and how we can engage with it, even when it's thinking about where the absences are, it still draws your eye to where the presence of data is. And one of the things we were really interested in is how can we actively draw your eye to help you think about what an absence is. And not to place any value judgment over it. The absences that we have here are the absences in the data sets that we have access to. But how can we specifically think about what's happening in the specific regions like Loughton, like Great Linford, why, for whatever reason, in the sets we're working with the MK Smart Hub, there don't appear to be any kind of data streams, whether static or live, that we'd be looking at.
So the data streams, how are they collected normally? Is there a central API, or are you having to cherry pick?
There is a central, the hub, the Open University's MK Smart Hub is a collection of APIs that we can pull from. We've also been very generously given a lot of data from people like Western Power Distribution, Samsung, and also Western Power, Samsung, Anglian Water, thank you, that mean that we've got this large amount of industry data as well that's come through our association with the Open University. So this has allowed us to kind of have quite a broad view, and a lot of these data have become open to the public through this for the first time ever.
That was, I remember Open Data being a big project and something Stuart Brown at the Open University was really keen on in the early days, and there was some of the first interfaces where I saw not necessarily the general public, but people could actually dig in and get into this data and see how they could use it in innovative ways. So is this picture that we're seeing right now of data coming out of Milton Keynes, how is that comparable to cities of a similar size? Is it a good amount of data?
Well, there's actually the MK Smart Hub is often touted as being one of the really kind of like foremost kind of smart city systems in the UK currently. I think there's an interesting component of the fact that Milton Keynes is a relatively new town, but it's also one laid out in a way that is kind of quite forgiving to these sorts of systems. And I think there's some interesting ways to think about what it means to design a city like this in the first place, almost 50 years ago, and what it means to be now looking at it from the perspective of how much data can we gather in a city like this, and how can we use the data infrastructure that we have to kind of make decisions about it in the future, which is a very complex, dense problem, which I think necessarily has to engage with the city's past as well as what it could be in the future.
When you're looking at data coming from an individual's household, is it anonymized to protect their personal information? what's actually coming through on the API?
So we have got the data anonymized. We have very limited information about what that actually is, and that's been something that we've been quite specific about. And in some spaces, the data itself is aggregated more to a general point than to an actual specific household point itself. And also for some of the historic and static data sets as well, that means that there's kind of, we're not looking at this data in actual real-time live data. There's always going to be a delay, which is one of the big things about this particular project we're really interested in as well. We were talking about APIs and live data. But live data and always on data isn't actually always on. It always has to constantly update as well. So we've been talking a little bit about the map, but you can also probably hear, I imagine, the church bells that are ringing as well. So each data set that we've got has been synced to the sound of the resonance of a particular church bell for a number of recordings that were taken at St. Andrew's Church in Great Linford. So every time a data set updates, the church bell associated with it will ring. And as the data set itself gets older, the sound will decay and the light on the map itself will get a little, will fade as well into dark as well. Because one thing we were particularly interested in, particularly in discussions around both the smart city and data, was this idea of like always on, always present. But actually, it's, you know, there's still kind of a very strong time element to it as well. And we really wanted to bring attention to that and the work that we're doing as well. And this kind of sonic element felt like a very nice way of being able to do that, of something that's kind of more visceral and perhaps immediate than sight would be for us as well.
Reminds me of a long player, the 1,000-year-long song. I don't know if you've heard it.
Yes, right, yeah, there you are.
It's interesting seeing so many buses with zero passengers. How is a bus actually measuring how many passengers are on board?
Each of the different data sets we've got collects data in very different ways. We were particularly interested in the provenance on it. So for the bus routes, they collect them through cameras, which are installed onto the buses as well, and so that can track and evaluate the number of passengers that are coming on at any particular time. And I think we've got data from the number 7 routes that's travelling around as well.
So that would be... that would have to be either, I mean, I doubt very much it would be thermal, so I'm guessing it's facial recognition. This is a person, not just an object, because if you take your cello on board, that's not going to be very good, is it?
Conceivably, if you took the cello on board, it may actually, that may be being counted. I think an interesting thing about thinking about how the sensors work is that any method of collecting data is necessarily always going to be potentially wrong, could potentially be gathering incorrect data or be functioning incorrectly, because these are all machines. And I think one element that we were particularly interested in was not removing that notion of materiality away from the process of data. We engage with data being filtered through a number of different aesthetic layers normally has to be visualized for us to kind of engage with it. But thinking about how you can create the discussions around or invite reflection on what the material properties underpinning the data are and what the material functions are, I think it inevitably also makes you ask who is behind it. It's not just a naturally occurring resource that we're kind of harvesting. It's something that has like an ideology behind it. People were collecting data for a certain reason, for certain ends, you know, and that changes on every data set. And that's part of like the kind of rich kind of cultural background that we exist in right now with our relationship with the data.
So each of you give me a data stream that you would love to see suddenly pop up, something you feel you're personally missing.
Oh my goodness.
That's a very, very good question. There's been a number of things that we've wished for, I think, and kind of like got close to. I would really like telecommunications data. I would like to have an idea of what the rate of that other kind of like quasi-quote-unquote soft infrastructure of data communication. I think that would be a really interesting way to kind of almost like bridge a gap between these two layers of hard and digital infrastructures.
I thought you might be saying what I was thinking, and that was I'd love to see just an overlay, just let's just filter everything off so that I can see all the public Wi-Fi hotspots and the current bandwidth.
Yeah.
Because I'm struggling to upload my own data here, so I'm gonna send this. Oh, have you got one?
I will follow in line with that one. I think that's perfect, and it is of like all, particularly because we were so focused on infrastructure of like what is the bedrock of the city, and for us, you know, for telecommunications, internet and wireless based data is the great unseen thing.
Yeah, fantastic. Where can people find this online if they do not, for their foolish selves, not make it to the international festival, Milton Keynes International Festival, N2 Centre MK, where this is for the next how many days? 10 days?
It's going to be running for 10 days, yeah. And there is going to be an online component of it. It should be available in about a week, and it's going to be at groundresistance.net.
Thank you very much, guys. Thanks a lot.
No problem.
Thank you.